Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Today we're going to finish our series, Because of the Times. There again, the times being twofold that we're talking about. First, the times that we're talking about are the condition of the earth that we live in because of sin. The Bible says that the times that you and I live in, the effects of sin have created what the Bible calls perilous times, troubled times, things happening in the earth that ought not be. Amen. Awful things. And so the times that we're living in, they're troubled because of sin. They're perilous. Secondly, the times, there again, these are considerations when we're talking about because of the time, because of the condition of the earth, but also time, meaning that length or that period of time that we have in the earth, you and I. I was reading through the Bible and in Genesis, and it talks about how, you know, and he lived, he had children and lived another 430 years. And I think, holy mackerel, and he died at 939. Wow, you know, that's a lot of time. Some of them didn't even have kids till they were 300. That's still young pups, you know, back in the day, right? But today, 20, you know, 25. 30, you know, having kids and so on. And then 70, 80, some, you know, at night, we think that somebody that's 90 year old is like, holy mackerel. Well, haven't you gone to heaven yet? You know, it's like they're on the edge teetering, you know, oh, don't breathe too hard. You'll push them into eternity. You know what I mean? I mean, we look at that like, holy mackerel, that's really, really old. But the reality of it is, regardless of the length of the time, if you will, the point of the matter is that God has called us in that time that we're here to make a difference in the earth for the kingdom of God. And the difference that we're making in the earth for the kingdom of God is making eternal differences. So it's extremely important, something that we should not take lightly, but we should purpose in our heart to make a difference, to overcome evil with good, to overcome darkness with light, to overcome lack with supply, you know, to stand in the gap, to step up and make a difference in the earth today. That's what God has called us to do. And so that's what we've been talking about. And so what would we step up and make a difference in? And that's what we've been talking about, is being devoted to prayer, being devoted to love one another. And today we want to look at being devoted to serve. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 10. And here's what he says. Each one should use whatever gift he has. There again, this is he or she has received to serve others as good stewards, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, I got a question for you this morning. And there again, it's not a trick question, but it kind of does require a certain level of honesty. Would you rather serve or would you rather be served? It kind of speaks to the core of who we really are, the core of our humanity. Because the reality of it is that if we're going to be honest with each other, that there's going to be times when we would rather be served. And that's okay. I'm not saying that necessarily as a bad thing. I mean, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We're going to go out this afternoon and get lunch and be served. And that's a cool thing. You know, we enjoy going out and having someone else have to, you know, work over a hot stove. Somebody else to have to go to the grocery store and buy the stuff and cook it, and somebody else to bring it. I mean, it's okay. It's nice to be waited on, for somebody else to be able to clean up and all that stuff. It's nice to be able to relax and have someone else serve us. That's okay. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. But is there a time when wanting to be served rather than serving becomes unhealthy? I think it's safe to say that we would all agree that it can be a detriment to us if our attitude or our approach to life is that all I ever want to do is to be served. It's bad for us. It's bad for our family. It's bad for society. And do you know it's bad for the gospel? Why is that? Well, someone like that who always wants to be served and never wants to serve, what they're doing is they're operating with a consumer mentality, always taking but never giving. What's in it for me? You ever met somebody, their attitude is, hey, it's all about me. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this little scenario? Have you ever met somebody that their attitude is, you owe me? We see that a lot, don't we? And so here's the deal. When a family or a business or society or even a church operate to where the majority is always placing a demand on the system and never providing relief or providing supply for the system, eventually, whatever it is, the family, the business, the society, yes, even the church is going to collapse because of the demand of the consumer is greater than the supply of the contributor. That's just the way that it works. You can only keep up with it for so long. It's kind of like if you make $300 a week and you spend $500 a week, eventually it's all going to come down round about you because the bank will only give you credit for so long. You can only live that way for so long before all of a sudden it stops. That's the same way with this. We can only operate that way for so long. So Peter comes along and he says, because of the times that we're living in, because sin is placing such a great demand on the system, if you will, it's important for us to remember that we can make a huge difference simply by serving one another. Yeah. To purpose in our heart to be a contributor, not just a consumer. So our big thought today is this, is serving really does make a difference. Serving makes a difference. Just like prayer makes a difference. Just like love makes a difference in the earth today. When you and I serve one another, it really does make a difference. So how does it make a difference? First thing, serving makes a difference because serving creates supply. Now, this is important to remember, especially when you're the one that's up to bat. When you're the one that is there and there's a need that you see and you have the opportunity to serve someone and you only have just a few moments in that time right there, you got to make a decision. Am I going to serve or am I going to walk away? You remember when the Bible talks about three people and there was a fella on his way to Jericho and he was mugged and robbed and beaten and left to die and he was in a ditch and Jesus said that two people walked by and didn't even pay attention. But then the third guy, he stopped. He was a Samaritan, the Bible says. He got down in the ditch and he helped. And so in that moment, you've got a decision that you have to make. Am I going to get down into that situation and am I going to help or am I going to keep the blinders on and am I going to keep on walking by? And do you know what? 99.9% of the time we're contemplating in that moment is the cost. What is it going to cost me to serve? Because the reality of it is that there is a cost to serving. No question about it. And a lot of people will walk away because of the cost. In the story of the Good Samaritan, one out of three will stop. And I believe as I'm looking in the earth today and as I'm just kind of looking at people round about, I kind of think that even though that was a parable that Jesus was talking about, I think that's a pretty close statistic. That the majority will walk by and there's only a few people that will actually stop and help. I believe it's because of the cost. So we've got a decision to make. Is it worth the cost for me getting down in there and helping? Is it worth my energy? Is it worth my time, my creativity, my patience? Is it worth my money to be able to give and to serve in that moment? How many understand that not only does it cost, but also we only have so much to give? Not only does it cost something, I only have so much to give. I remember we went to a restaurant a while back, and we'd never been at this particular restaurant. And so we walked, and we'd heard how wonderful this restaurant was. And so we walked into this restaurant, we sat down at the table, and we opened up the menu, and we thought, oh boy. I mean, when appetizers start out at $18, oh boy. And so we look at each other, how are we going to get out of this one? You know, you leave first, right? Yeah. And so what happened was we wanted to sit down to a meal, but we couldn't afford the cost. Serving sometimes does that. Why? Because we only have so much to give. And in that moment when you're thinking about it, there again, you're wondering about the cost, but also you're wondering, do I have it to give emotionally, physically, spiritually? And so even though it cost us something, even though we're limited in our supply, God still asked us to serve because we're all called to serve. And so he created this plan, if you will. He has an action plan to help us. And here's what the Bible says. Check this out. Philippians chapter 4 and 19. The Bible says, my God will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We understand that, and we love to quote that, and we love to stand upon it, and that's cool, that's okay, that's great, we should. But what we have to do is we have to understand the context of the promise. Have you ever told someone at work or someone or one of your kids, if you do this, I'll do that? And let me help you understand why. God only supplies what it takes to accomplish his will. If your child is going to go out on Friday night and play the fool and you know it, are you going to give him the keys to your car and your credit card? Why? You're not going to do it because it goes against your purpose, your will for them. It's not going to be good for them. God gives to accomplish his will in the earth. And so the context of this promise is this, verse 15. You know that in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. What was he saying? You guys were the only ones that were helping. Of all the people that we had traveled around and ministered to, you guys were the only ones that were helping. And even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. When I was ministering other places, I wasn't even ministering to you. I was ministering to someone else. And yet you were faithful to give. He said, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what can be credited to your account. And now that I've received the gifts that you sent, they are fragrant in God's nostrils, and they are an acceptable sacrifice and pleases him. So what's Paul saying? He's talking to them. He's telling them how the kingdom of God works. And that is sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. That's how it works. He said, because you gave, now God can give. Because you gave, now God can meet your need. And not only that, he'll have something left over so that you can continue to give into works like mine. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like a water hose. Most of us probably have a water hose at our house. And we've got it hanging on the side, on the wall, and it's connected to the spigot outside. Now, the hose in and of itself only has a certain amount of capacity to hold water. But here's the deal. The hose wasn't designed to hold water. The hose was designed to be a channel through which water could flow. It was designed to deliver water. And so the second the nozzle is open, what happens? When you open the nozzle to that hose, it does what it's designed to do. It creates a place through which water can travel to where water is needed. In the same way, though you and I in and of ourselves are limited in supply, when we open the nozzle, we align ourselves up with our design, which is what? To be a giver, not a holder. We're supposed to be givers, not just holders. And so when we give, we create a place for God to flow through us to others, which is what our design is. What happens? It results in not only our needs being met, but there again, something left over to bless others. Proverbs 11 and 25, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I want you to remember this simple thought right here. The key isn't having to be rich or to increase in my capacity. The key is simply to serve, to open the nozzle and let the one who is limitless flow through us. That's the key. So serving creates supply. Secondly, serving creates direction. A lot of people today struggle with direction in their life. I've heard people ask this question a lot. Why am I here? And they struggle with that big time. I mean, I'm talking about it's a major struggle in their mind. Why am I here? I mean, is there more to life than this? What's going on? I mean, this is all seems just meaningless. It's just empty. And so oftentimes they come to this conclusion. Why even bother? And so because of that, what happens? They struggle through each day. They're in survival mode. You know somebody that's in survival mode? Are you this morning in survival mode, just trying to get through your current circumstance? Can I tell you there's a better way? In Christ, there's always going to be a better way. And that better way is to switch from survival mode to serving mode. To switch from just trying to survive to finding a place to serve, because it's in serving that you're going to find your direction. How does that work? Well, God's will is for all of mankind to be saved. How many are familiar with the verse that says that God would that none should perish, but that all come to repentance? It's His will for everybody to be saved. It's His will for everybody to live a holy life and to be a witness and to be a blessing, to overcome evil with good and so on. This is what we might refer to as God's corporate will. But within God's corporate will, He has an individual or a specific will for each person. There again, what is that for? To accomplish His big picture. And so while God's corporate will, there again, is to witness, you're called individually to witness to specific people. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody at your work, somebody at the community, in your community, your next door neighbor, so on. You know, God's corporate will is for everyone to hear the gospel, but what He has for you is the certain people for you to share the gospel with. He's called you to bless certain people. He wants everybody blessed. That was His original design. But there's certain people that He's called you specifically to bless in your journey in life. There are specific areas of darkness that you are called to shine in. Certain arenas, if you will, in life that you're given influence to, so that when you step into that place, you can make a difference for the good. Do you understand that there's places that you go that I would never be allowed into? And so God has given you favor with a certain group of people. Why? So that you can go in and have influence for Him in that area, in that arena. So what happens is, as you align yourself with God's corporate will, is as you say, okay, I'm going to use those things that I have, my gifts and my talents and so on. I'm going to use my time and my resource and my love and patience and so on. When I commit to using those things in God's corporate will, I'm just going to be willing, Lord, to witness. And as you're going along throughout your week, all of a sudden He'll direct you to somebody specific. Your specific gifts, your specific talents, and so on, will make a difference in their life. And that's by God's design. Think of it this way. If you need your tires changed on your car, you're probably not going to go make a dentist appointment. I mean, if you need your taxes done, more than likely you're not going to go to your butcher, walk in with all your receipts. You put them up on the counter. What's that for? Well, I want you to do my taxes. No, if you want a ribeye, I can help you. But I ain't touching that box. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you need your appendix out, are you going to go call your plumber? I mean, it really is that simple. You see, in the same way, God is not going to lead you to someone that you can't help. He's much more purposeful in his direction. His plan is so much more intricate than we can imagine. Nothing is happenstance. I just happened to be at this place at this certain time and got this deal because my family has needed this for a long time and couldn't afford it. There is nothing in any way, shape, or form in God's kingdom that has anything to do with luck. But the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The direction is laid out. And how you can find your specific direction is by serving, using your gifts and talents in the specific places that God brings you. Amen. Now, sometimes some people will not accept our help. We experience that a lot. We create opportunity for ministry in somebody's life, and they don't come. They don't accept it. They don't take it. That's just natural. But it doesn't change the fact that God is not leading you to that person, to that situation, to give them opportunity to step into something better, to step into his plan. So what do? We just keep going. Keep serving, right? So the bottom line is this. God has not called or directed you here, talking about this house and this family, without a specific cause. But God has brought you here at this particular time and at this particular place with this specific family because the times that we live in are perilous. And you know what? We need what you bring to the table. We need your gifts and talents in operation here in this family. Bottom line, we need each other. I know we've read it 1,000 times, but in the days that we live in, we need to be reminded of this truth found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 on a frequent basis. The Bible says God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And notice what happens. As each part does its own special work, as we serve where God's called us to serve with the gifts and talents that he's given us, guess what happens? Look at this. It helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Each part is important to the whole. The bottom line is that if this family is going to fulfill the corporate will of God, then each one of us need to be in our place serving one another. And here's what I want to do. I want to close today by answering this question. How can I serve my church? When I'm talking about church, I want you to understand I'm talking about this family. I know we've talked about this before, but I honestly don't believe that it can be spoken any clearer than these three simple statements. First of all, start where you are. Take a minute and ask yourself this question right now. I'm talking about right now. Don't wait. I want you to just talk for just a minute, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Who can I serve this week in my church family? Who can I serve this week? Not 10 years down the road, not I'll get to it when I get to it. I'm talking about sometime throughout the next 7 days, who in my church family can I serve? Number two, use what you have. So we start where we are and we use what we have. Question, what do you have that you can serve that person with in the next 7 days? There again, this is a call to action, not to ponder. We got plenty of pondering going on while people are hurting in our family. We've got a lot of contemplating going on while people need what you have in our family. And then finally, do what you can. So start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Here's the question you ask. How can I serve them this week? So we got, who can I serve? What do I have that I can serve them with? And then finally, how am I going to serve them? How is that going to happen? There again, in 7 days. I don't mean this to be harsh, but I don't want us to contemplate this for 3 months. I don't want us to pray about this for 6 months. I don't want us to fast about this for 3 days. I want us in this moment, all right, who can I minister to? Yes, it's going to cost me something, but I'm understanding that cost is not going to stop me from opening the nozzle, because when I open the nozzle, I create a place for God to flow through. All you have to do is commit to say, yes, I'll do it. Who do you want me to do for? Who do you want me to serve, Lord? And how? What is it that I have that I can serve them with? And Lord, how is it that I'm going to serve them in the next 7 days? Can I tell you, it might be so important in the next 7 days for you to step up and to minister to someone in this way that it will keep them in this family. Yeah. That it will keep them encouraged. It maybe will change the course in their life from a path that would take them deeper into discouragement and deeper into those things that, you know, into a darker place. And we've all been there before. And then what happens? Somebody comes along and they stop and they serve us. And it changes everything. That's what I'm talking about. Let me encourage you today, though at times it may not seem like it, and though at times you may not feel like it, the truth of the matter is that in Christ, you are the one that's the lifeline. You are the one that's the difference maker. You are the one that God has sent to serve. It's not time to look around and say somebody else is more qualified. The time is, okay, Lord, I'm here and I'm right now and I'm going to serve and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. All he's doing is asking you today, are you going to open up the nozzle? Are you going to be the one to open up the nozzle and simply allow God himself to flow through you in service for the kingdom of God?
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.